He's a faculty associate at Harvard's Berkman Klein Center for Internet and Society, and he takes the comment section seriously wherever it turns up. Comments on blogs, on whether to buy a particular toaster, and the most serious article posted by the New York Times. In fact, Joseph Riegel has authored a study titled Reading the Comments, Likers, Haters, and Manipulators at the Bottom of the Web. And he explains there's a reason that comments are typically put on the bottom half of the internet. There is a lot of dreck down there, but in sifting through the comments, we can learn much about ourselves and the way that other people seek to exploit the value of our social selves. The point of this research, Riegel explains, is expressed by an adage often used by media theorist Marshall McLuhan. We live invested in an electronic information environment that is quite as imperceptible to us as water is to a fish. Comment is easily seen, but invisible to the extent that we take it for granted. Often when comment does make an impression on us, it is a nuisance to be disabled or an offense to be ignored. Although I do not advocate that everyone read all the comments all the time, I think that it is wise to understand them. Riegel sums things up by introducing us to Amanda Brennan, who describes herself as a complete nerd who is passionate about absorbing information and sharing it with others. She even has managed a career of it and served as a meme librarian. And she has an interesting piece of jewelry, a necklace that says, "Never read the comments." Brennan's job, after all, is to read the comments. So the maxim is not really a prohibition, but a comment on the sometimes sorry state of comment in an otherwise compelling medium. The usefulness of the web and its comments is demonstrated by where Brennan first saw the Never Read the Comments necklace, on Instagram, and where she bought it, on Etsy. She says that for her, the necklace means that the web can still be a place of thoughtfulness and creativity. Knowing that other people out there get that is a reminder that not everyone wants to use the internet in the darkest ways. That from a study called Reading the Comments by Joseph Riegel, Jr. The Scranton Fringe Festival is a multi-day, multi-venue performing arts festival that will run from September 22nd through September 30th at various locations around the city, and one of the theatrical events is titled The Comment Section. Do You Have Any Idea What You're Saying? By David and Tony Joe Parmalee, to be presented at the Leonard on Adams Avenue, Friday and Saturday, September 28th and 29th. David Parmalee is an actor and a director and playwright and general manager of the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, and he stopped in at the WVIA studios to tell us about the piece and why he's drawn to working at fringe festivals.
It seems to me I'm probably no different than anybody else, in that what we love about fringe is permission. Fringe has no fences or gates. The whole idea of fringe originally is it was people who were rejected from traditional arts festivals because their art didn't fit in. So since this is for art that doesn't fit in, there's nowhere to fit. And we see a lot of people who are making very serious statements, whether with dance, with theater, with spoken word, whatever it might be, music, and saying something deep about themselves. Then we see other people who are taking great joy in the play aspect of it, and that's where I fit in. And two of the things that we've done at Fringe now have to do with the joy of language. 2016, Toast, which was a theatrical presentation made entirely out of reviews of appliances and other items found online. And this year's The Comment Section. And once again, we didn't write a word of it. The dialogue is 100% taken from comments made online to otherwise very innocent sounding news stories. It was my wife, Tony Jo's concept. She began reading some of the comments and she said, "You know, the comments are the best part of any news story." And boy, is it true. And we found some diamonds.
Where did you go to look? Regional papers or all over?
It's very random. You can look at a very large paper, TV station, whatever it is, and they don't even have a comment section. And then you might find something from the Sacramento Bee, and they do have a comment section. And you have to pan for gold where you find it. And we stumbled on the first couple. The first one was from Utah. And then we looked for about six more because Fringe has a one-hour format. So this is going to be an hour of totally unexpected theatrical situations made out of random people's comments on the internet.
And the idea is that you don't even give us any narrative connection. You just let these things unfold and they make a sense or they don't.
This was the hard part. We can read the article and the audience knows what it's about. And we have six articles, one of which is a delay in NASA having a spacecraft constructed to get to the space station. One of them is, why is Easter so early this year? And it talks all about the ecclesiastical calendar, etc. Our favorite one, the one my wife first found, was Family Dog Rescues Two Girls Struck by Lightning. And it's a hero story about a lassie-type dog who finds these girls who are struck by lightning and gets help. Then the problem is, we have these random comments, sometimes hundreds of them. How do we assemble them into a scene? And what makes sense theatrically, and what is the real value of it theatrically, is what would it sound like if people said the things they say online under the anonymity of the internet and a nickname face to face? What would it sound like if we said those things to one another? Because within about 10 comments, it goes off the rails altogether. So my job as a playwright was to take what she had put together and find theatrical scenes where those people could be talking. So we have a bar, a doctor's office, a cookout, a news conference, a park bench, where people can encounter and the audience gets to watch them actually saying to each other the things they said cloaked with the anonymity of the internet.
Is it anything like
the idea of the telephone game where someone tells someone, and by the time you get back to the beginning, it's not even related? When you say the comments go boom, 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 and they're off the rails, do you mean it in that way as well as in terms of the tone?
Boy, do I wish I had thought of that analogy, Erica. That's a perfect analogy. One thing leads to another, to another, to another. And before you know it, you're somewhere you never expected to go. One thing we do is at the end of the theatrical scene, we have the voiceover come back for the tiniest little bit of the original article to remind the audience this was all about a dog. Every one of these mentions Trump or Obama within about 15 lines. In fact, I think we're going to have a little bell that we can ring at the first mention of Trump and a different one at the first mention of Obama. You're right. People go down these pathways that you never thought they would go and say amazingly rude, harmful, wacky things in totally unexpected context. We find three types of comments on most of these articles, and having read a few of them, we have some grist for the mill. We find supporters, people who are supporting the cause or the people or the opinion of the article. We find attackers, who of course are the aggressive people. And then we find wild cards that take the ideas in the article and go off in bizarre directions just based on those simple facts. And it is so much fun to follow the labyrinth wherever it goes. At one level, this is the joy in found poetry, which is what I love. It's playing with language. But at another and more meaningful level, it serves to demonstrate the impact of what we say to one another in the darkness. One analogy I like to make is road rage. People do things in a car they would never do in person. And if they stopped and got out of the car and met the other person, they wouldn't quite know how to defend their actions. The same thing happens online. Tremendous hurtfulness. And this is a new phenomena. This is something of the Facebook era, perhaps more the internet chat room era, etc. But it certainly has run wild today. We have never talked to one another as human beings this way. So the tagline for the comment section is, do you have any idea what you're saying? Which is a common expression, but I think it's gone to the next level. People really don't know what they're saying. And if they were in a group looking in the eyes of the other person, they would never say it. Or at least not that way.
Well, you've piqued our curiosity. Take us somewhere.
Okay. One of our favorite ones, as I mentioned, is the first one we found. Family dog finds help for two Utah girls struck by lightning. And this was a feel-good story, no question. The girls are okay, but here they were camping out in the desert, got hit by lightning, and the family dog went to get them and led them to help. But in the middle, we find a couple of people debating, going back and forth. And one of them says, I would like to agree with you. However, society is on a downward gradient that seems to be accelerating. Have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy? It is prophetic. I am no complacent citizen. I am building a house in the woods and preparing for the worst. You should be too. From what place does that come? And we've assembled a fantastic cast of theater people, some who've done a whole lot of theater, some who are fairly new to it. And between the eight of us, we're playing 43 roles in the course of these six. And of course, this is hundreds of different people who made the comments, but we've created a character for each type of comment. And we've assigned that character a supporter, a defender, or a wild card, and given that actor a name and a role. And then in about 5 minutes, we switch into something else. This thing ends, it gets into a debate, as usual, about Trump and Obama. This is the family dog story. What a stupid remark. Do you think Trump would have left the girls to die? Come on, he would even help you if you were in distress. She responds, that dog has more heart than Trump. And someone else kicks in, he has brains, the brains of a slug. You are overly generous. And then the dog fella comes back to us and says, you know, I had a soft-coated Wheaton Terrier like the one pictured. Smartest dog I ever had. And these are comments that followed each other. In what kind of sequence? We don't know. And then, of course, we get the debate going of cats versus dogs and which is better. And somebody talks about how if you die and have a cat, it will eat you. He has seen the pictures in medical textbooks. Now, of course, everything on the internet is true, so that issue is settled. We have an article about a girl who's tubing in Florida in the river, and a gator follows her. And this girl was pretty smart. She grabbed an overhanging branch and climbed into a tree, but the gator wouldn't go away. So she took her cell phone and called her mother, who called the sheriff's deputy who came and shot the gator. End of story. Apparently, people who live in Florida tell me it happens all the time. But we have four people sitting in a bar watching this on the news. And this takes about 15 seconds to descend into a gun control debate, which is the last debate you ever want to hear. No matter which side you're on, it's the worst sort of debate. And that's one little scene there.
Do you put on a hat in the park bench scene and take off the hat? How do you do that theatrically?
Exactly right. In fact, that's what I call it. It's the hat rack method of costumes and props, that you're changing personas so quickly that literally on stage you have a place where you keep the small accessories that you use to switch masks, and the audience has to keep up with you.
Is there a style or is there a tradition in the Western canon of theater, like those people in Paris in the 1920s who were sort of like that, perhaps?
They serve as my inspiration. André Breton, Marcel Duchamp, people who made art out of nothing and forced you to question what was art. Here we're making theater out of nothing. As we say, we didn't write a word of it. So it forces you to ask, what is theater? But on the modern side of the world, it's sketch comedy. This is something that Monty Python, who I believe you began televising in 1974, was famous for and still popular. And of course, the great tradition of Saturday Night Live, where we present a situation and see what happens in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes.
Where will you be trying to draw us in?
That's one of the great parts of it. Not too long ago, our venue was a hardware store. This is the lower level of the Leonard Theater on Adams Avenue. Some folks know the Bog, which is a popular local bar. The second level of the Leonard is a beautiful, old, wonderful dance hall space. But the lower level is an empty storefront. It used to be a hardware store, and that's where we're performing. And the fun of Fringe is it all has to come up and down in 10 minutes. Get 10 minutes to build it, an hour to perform, and 10 minutes to take it away, and then the next person comes in. We need a minute or two to change scenes. And in that minute or two, in between each of the six scenes, Tony, Joe and I will be two callers calling their hometown newspaper and making comments. And these were gathered from our local paper, the Times Leader, about 20 years ago. They had a section called Say So, where you could call in, speak for 30 seconds, and they would print it. And I would mine those every weekend. There'd be a double spread of say-sos and make little found poems out of them. So we are Stan and Stella, and you will have an entry from Stan and an entry from Stella in between the six commentaries. And you would probably not be surprised to hear how different the commentary was. These were generally, I think, older people who called in. They were doing it by phone, knowing they were being recorded. And although they can be quite acerbic, very cutting, they had a way of getting to the truth in 30 seconds. It was an entirely different style of commentary. So that little contrast will be there in between courses of the meal, so to speak. So we're performing once on Friday night at 8. That's the 28th of September. Twice on Saturday the 29th, 4 o'clock and 7:30, with an event in between. And folks will walk along the sidewalk. This is a great part about Fringe, with the program in their hand, checking off what they want to see next and hoping they can get there before that piece starts. It is a full schedule.
And also people say, you've got to see. There's an awful lot of that in the streets too. You've got to see so-and-so.
We're hoping for that. In fact, we're going to give out a miniature version of our posters with a space on the back for comment. And we'll be posting all those and asking people to pass them around. So comments on the comments.
So we're coming away laughing, perhaps laughing at ourselves because we see some of ourselves in what might be revealed. But also there is perhaps a cautionary note here.
One of our actors, Paul Cantor, we were doing the read through the end of the night, and he said, that sounds like a woman who calls me every day. So part of his job is on the phone. And the face-to-face commentary is not so much, I think, what we worry about, but the anonymous commentary. Who do we become when darkness falls? When we don't have to look at someone or see the expression on their face or even, in fact, identify ourselves. Who are we? Who is that person who comes out? So if there is a moral to the story, perhaps that's it. Who are you on the internet and who are you really? Do you, in fact, have any idea what you're saying?
David Parmalee, actor, director, and playwright, and general manager of the Little Theater of Wilkes-Barre, speaking with us about the comment section, Do You Have Any Idea What You're Saying?, created by David Parmalee and Tony Jo Parmalee, his wife, to be presented as part of Scranton Fringe Festival 2018, a multi-day, multi-venue performing arts festival that will run September 22nd through September 30th at various locations around the city. The comment section will be presented at the Leonard on Adams Avenue, the lower level, Friday the 28th at 8 p.m. and Saturday the 29th at 4 and at 7:30 p.m. For more information on the web, scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org.